Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast, the place to be for drama teachers, drama students, and theater educators everywhere. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello! I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 130. You can find any links for this episode at the show notes at theaterfolk.com/episode130. Now, let me tell you, I love a good story. And that's kind of what, well, a lot of these podcasts, they come from somebody telling me a good story, right? They come from somebody simply sending an email and saying, oh, we did this and it was such a success. Or, oh, I'm trying this and boy, is it a challenge. Or I tried this and it was a challenge and we overcame it. And I love hearing about that. And I know that others do too. I think and I know that the drama teachers and drama educators sometimes feel alone in their journey. Maybe they're the only teacher in their district at their school, and or they're in a school where everyone kind of looks at you a little bit strange. I've totally been in that position where nobody quite gets what you're doing and nobody's quite on the same page. They know you're doing something good, hopefully, but they're never quite sure. And anytime that we can share someone's journey with you guys, with our listeners, that's what I want to do. I want to let everybody know that they're not alone. So, and I have to say, I'm always so pleased to talk to the folks who say yes to my podcast request. Cause you know, I just kind of throw them out there. Someone will send me an email and I'll be like, oh, that sounds like an awesome topic. Would you like to come talk about it? And sometimes people say no. And sometimes they're like, okay, but I've never done it before. And you know, we're pretty casual here. We just kind of talk, and it's always a fascinating, lovely experience from my end. And hopefully on their end too. I just realized, oh, that's only me. I'm the only one having a good time. And so, and then sometimes I will set it up and find a space to talk. A lot of times I'm at a conference and I'll like, oh, hey, we're going to be there. You know, let's find a corner and just, you know, have this conversation. And sometimes I think it's going to go one way and it goes, and it's just so much more. I'm completely blown away. And I have to say that this week is one of those talks. We're talking about connecting to a challenging script with teacher Heather Meeks. And I just love this conversation. It made me so happy to write for schools. And I got to the end of this and I'm like, okay, I gotta go write a play right now. And so I gotta warn you. So I was at a conference, and quiet space is pretty much a no-go in some of these places. And you might hear some weird noises. Just try and focus on the words. Don't think about the fleshing. There might be some. Don't think about it. I know you're thinking about it. Don't think about it.
So I am here at TETA. Do you guys call it TETA or TETA?
Mm-hmm. Nope, TETA.
TETA, the Texas Educational Theater Association Conference in Houston. And I'm here with Heather. Hello, Heather. Heather Meeks.
Yes. Hello, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
And you are, what level do you teach?
I teach middle school right now.
And how long have you been teaching middle school?
I've been teaching off and on for 15 years. This is my second year here.
Okay.
With middle school theater again, so I have a wide and varied background.
So why middle school? Why did you?
Because that was the job that was offered me, and it's fine. It's perfect for this season. I was out of teaching theater for a while, ooh, teaching literature.
Yeah.
And so it's a good segue.
Cool.
Yeah.
So and how does theater work for you at a middle school context?
We have three levels of classes. We're fortunate that we have beginning sixth graders, seventh graders, eighth graders in our middle school. And I'm teaching the intermediate, but we have kids that are in it all the way. And we have kids that are thrust in there because there's no other elective for them to take.
And how is that for you when you have to deal with the resistance?
It can be a big challenge. So I really have to find things of high interest for them to get them to buy in and to want to be a part of it. And so you can't do You can't be boring with middle school.
No, because they
simply not allowed.
They will eat you alive.
Yes, they will.
So we came in contact because you performed My Play Shuddersome.
I did.
With your students. Now, I love that you, and one of the things you said was that you sort of purposely took on this challenge. Because
yes,
it's a challenging play.
It's a very challenging play.
For high school students. So why did you choose this play?
I chose this play for a couple of reasons. I needed it to be a big production because we needed this to be across the board. It was our fundraiser. So I needed to find something that I could use up to 150 students in.
Wow.
And I still needed it to have value. I'm very big on finding things of literary merit, even for middle school. And so many of the things that are written for them are cheesy and cute and fairy tales, which is fine, but sometimes they need to go deeper.
It's funny. It's one of our, it's sort of, when we started getting into middle school plays, that was one of the things that we pretty purposely decided is that no fairy tales. Unless there's
right,
something that's really, really different and unique, but that there are other places, because there's other places for fairy tales, and about how often middle school teachers have come up to us and said, thank you.
Yes, indeed. Well, and I think there's a lot of value in some of the plays that are written for high schooler and older, but they're not appropriate for middle school. They're not at that level yet. And so to take something like Poe, which is dark and deep and taps into those inner fears that middle schoolers live with on an hour-by-hour basis, it was a safe way to explore some of those things and introduce them to great literature. And so when they get to high school and revisit all of these Poe short stories, I'm like, oh, I remember that. Wait, I was a Shudder.
Yes,
we crawled and killed the guy. That was awesome. So
I have to tell you, I've never thought about equating the darkness with Poe with the darkness that middle school students go through.
Yeah.
Is that what you saw when you read it, or was that something that sort of came out?
I used to teach, when I taught high school theater, I also taught high school English. And so I taught American Lit, and Poe was a big unit of mine. So I was very familiar with his writing and his history and things, and I thought, this will be really cool because I know a lot of it is that inner journey. And when I look around my classrooms, I see the struggles. And I teach in a really mixed middle school. Like, we have really wealthy students and we have really poor students. We're a Title I school. And so there's people all over the spectrum, but our common theme is they're terrified of being, trying to become these people who they're going to be. And that's the whole journey of most of these Poe stories are, where do I fit? How do I fit? Is it okay?
I don't fit.
And these dark and scary things, is it okay to talk about them? And one of the things that my district coordinator came and watched the show, and he's like, I am impressed that you would tackle Poe with middle schoolers. And I'm like, it was a really natural fit. They ate it up. And because I trusted them with that, they honored the work and they honored the piece with their very best effort.
Oh, and so that's my next question is, like, okay, so that first rehearsal or that first audition, when you said, this is what we're doing, what was the response initially?
Initially it was like, what? Who? Huh? And then I was like, well, it's creepy. All right, cool. And so we watched some history about Poe and some little snippets from some of Vincent Price's.
Yes.
Right? Because he does such a great thing. And then we read through our pick six. I think there's, I don't remember how many, but there's more.
I didn't do them all.
But anyway, we picked six because I had six classes.
So each class got
their own play. And so when we read all through all of them, and then I sorted out how many kids wanted to be on stage, because I wanted anybody that wanted to be on stage, I wanted to find a place for them. And so then I kind of divided up which classes would get which pieces. Now, the people that got Telltale Heart, I'm like, that's what they wanted. They were so excited when I said, this is your play. They're like, yay! The people that got the bells were a little, huh?
Yeah.
But that one was a beautiful piece. And once we got into the rhythm, and so we got introduced to poetry, and we got introduced to the short story format. It was a lot of visual things. And so for some of the pieces, the Raven, the poetry was harder for them.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. It was harder for them, and I had to do a lot more work getting them to visualize. We did a lot more with staging with that for them to understand that.
It was harder for me, too, just in terms of, here's the piece on the page, I need just more. There needed to be more. Like all that stuff in The Raven where the characters are doing, here's a move, here's a move, here's a move, mm-hmm. here's a move. Strictly was so that people wouldn't stand on stage and yes. recite a poem. We're not reciting poems.
Exactly. And that was a lot. And that one was harder for them. I had to spend more time with the Raven group to understand the movement. And that we were still making pictures and we still had to pull in the audience. That we have a visual audience and we're performing an auditory piece.
Yeah.
So what can we do? And so we added ravens and we added some black fabric and we gave people... We did a lot of pantomime and a lot of movement. And for some of these kids, this is their first time to be on stage. And they didn't yeah. really want a line, but they wanted to be a part of it. And so that was so perfect with this piece, is that I could have 25 shutters for Telltale Heart and make this whole sea of writhing people. And then I could do the same thing with 3 or 4 ravens, because that class wasn't as confident.
Yeah.
And we did the, and then the sixth graders watched it, because this was, we did this in October, so they had only been in the campus for 2 months.
Yep.
And a group of them came and said, can we do something? We want to do this too. We've been seeing you rehearse and we really want to play too. And so we opened it up to anybody who wanted to stay after school, because I didn't have those classes. And I had 15 middle school, or sixth graders do the oval portrait. So it was a pure pantomime piece. And they loved it. They had such a great time. And we got to talk about history because we did nosology, which, and that class loved it. They thought it was hilarious. And a lot of people underestimate what middle schoolers can understand about satire and social. I mean, they live in a caste system.
Yes.
So to have that humor of, oh, he thinks he's so good, it's like the football player getting to be knocked down a peg. So
talk about how much middle schoolers are underestimated.
Oh, completely underestimated. They are, I think, everybody thinks elementary kids are so, oh, they're so cute and sweet, and oh, there's so much potential, and look, aren't they brilliant? Everything they do is brilliant. Everything they do is hung on the wall. And high school is like, oh, they're awesome because they're going to go off. And middle school is this big gap where they're awkward and not very confident in people, and they're annoying because they're going through a lot of changes. And I think even those of us that live with them on a daily basis are like, oh, they're just annoying. Oh, they can't handle that. They're not mature enough of that. They only see the immaturity. And so to have the administrators and the parents come up to me after the show, I was like, we had no idea they were capable of this.
Well, I mean, what a great, yeah. What a great feeling to go.
And it was great for them because they didn't realize what a big thing they had done until people came up to them after. It's like, oh, you really creeped me out when you did that. How did you understand that story? Tell me about that story. Because a lot of the adults were like, explain that whole oval portrait thing to me. And my English teachers appreciated, because eighth grade was reading some of the Poe pieces. They had done Telltale Heart, I think. And so they were excited that the kids were excited about it. Guess what we're doing in theater? Miss Warren, we're acting out this play, and it's really neat. And she's like, well, we just read it in class, and it wasn't neat when we read it in class. It's like, you have to bring it to life. And you have to give them that hook into it. And it just empowered them.
Yeah.
And because of that, the rest of the year has given them so much more confidence to tackle more challenging work and not be afraid and not go immediately for this silly, even when we're doing improvs. And when we're doing other things in class, it doesn't all have to be goofy and silly. You don't have to live up to the expectation that middle schoolers are goofy and silly and aren't capable of anything.
So talk about some of the rehearsal tactics you used to tackle some of this stuff.
I used a lot of movement. We did a lot of group building with the shutters. So we did a lot of community building exercises and ensemble work. We did, the classic sort of Spolin games like Who Began, where you're doing the motion and everybody has to work together because they almost had to be one unit. Telltale Heart in particular, because they were the man's consciousness, and so they had to move in sort of as a C. So we did a lot of that. I did a lot of breaking the words down for them, and we would sort of rewrite and then put it back into Poe's language so that they could find you know, when he's talking about the voices he hears in his head and mm-hmm. not wanting anyone to know and trying to cover up that I'm thinking really horrible thoughts. Have you ever done that in class? Do you ever look at someone, oh, I wish I could, you know, hurt him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not appropriate. I'm not supposed to think that.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we do that all the time. So, and we did a lot of movement, a lot of connecting middle
their
schoolers
world too.
To their world, to that. I think that's the key with middle school is they don't have a lot of world experience, but they have a lot of emotional world experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're closer to every emotion on the planet than we as adults can remember. It's all right there on the surface. Because they don't have a filter yet, right? So they can't rationalize it. They're just feeling what they're giant toddlers. And it's mine, and it's this, and oh, he did this. And Poe is so awesome to connect that, because that's kind of where Poe was. I'm offended. I'm hurt. I'm in love.
Yeah.
Everything was over the top. And they're over the top. So it was really a very natural fit.
And everything, it's all creepy, but it's all on the surface.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fantastic, made my day. I love it. I'll just love hearing, what I love about writing for this age group is exactly what you've hit the nail on. It's like, it doesn't matter what technology comes along or, oh, they're so different than they were 10 years ago. The core of every teenager is exactly the same mm-hmm. when I was a teenager, when my mother was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And it's that terror of not being understood.
Exactly. And when we give them only fluff to work with, we're validating.
Yeah.
You're right. You're not understood. We still think you're babies. You can't handle this. You can't handle that. Or, and so we validate that fear. And by giving them this, we empower them away from that fear.
So what would you say? Because what sometimes happens, though, is that teachers must deal with administrators who don't understand these kids
right.
and will not let them explore and grow.
It's a hard balance. I think you have to open up that dialogue early. Mm-hmm. I was a little trepidatious about doing Poe with this group, but when I found out that eighth grade reads it, and I said we're starting with the eighth grade, and I went in as I want to include everybody. This is a great piece to do this. It tied in. We were doing a dinner theater. It was close to Halloween. I'm like, they watch zombies. And the things that our kids see, I mean, they watch Walking Dead. They watch these shows that have violence and profanity. And on a daily basis, I'm like, let's channel that mm-hmm. into something positive. And then we ended it in a happy note, like, because we our big curtain call, there's 100 kids mm-hmm. going around. Yay, we did it. And so I'm like, it's not going to leave on this dark. And they're like, well, what if we encourage them to think these bad things about the world? They already think that.
Yeah.
Give them a voice to express it so they don't think it's so awful and weird and dark. Because they're going to think it, whether we talk about it or not.
That's what amazes me when we're not allowing them to express what's going to happen to them. If we have a generation of students who have not been allowed to say a bad word or mm-hmm. think a bad thought, when they get out in the world,
right.
they're going to be like, they're just going to go crazy.
Yeah. And I think we see some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, with things that happen.
That we feel that we're like, where did this come from?
Right.
Well,
we've spent this, you know, the last 20 years dumbing everything down, sanitizing it, we as educators are so afraid that, oh, well, we can't put a gun in their hands because then that's going to send a message. And we can't use a drug reference, even though we've got students getting high in our bathrooms. But we can't talk about it.
I know
and
a teacher.
It's just the wrong thing
I know
to do.
A middle school. So I have a play that doesn't even say the word suicide, but it's referenced.
Right.
And the teacher, the administrator, said this is not appropriate for our students to be talking about during Suicide Prevention Week.
Ah.
And you just want to go, but it's here.
It's here.
We have to talk about it.
And yet when it happens on campus, because I've been on campuses where we've sure. lost students to suicide and the grief counselors come in, but everything is hush hush. And it's a hard topic, but you have to talk about the hard topics. And I think it's really important to talk about the hard topics at middle school
yes.
where they're still reachable. Because when they get to high school, those kids that we really need to help at 16 or 17 are dropping out.
They're gone.
They're gone. And at 12, they're still redeemable. So let's yeah. talk about it now and give them a tool to use. And one of the reasons that I liked Shutter Summon and that I try to focus on at least one play a year that has some sort of social context or exploring some of those darker sides is that then my kids have something to help other kids with.
Yeah.
So that the kids that aren't in theater, that they have contact, they can say, oh, you know, we did a play about bullying last year, and this whole cyber thing, I'm really, you know, but here's something you can do. Or it's okay to think, you know, Ms. Mink said, it's okay to think dark thoughts, because we all do. We don't have to all act on them.
No.
But we can do it through our creativity.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I mean, that's so, right? Isn't that the whole reason we do this?
Well, you know, and then how do we, you know, this is all about, this is how we make a human being, a successful human being in the world, is mm-hmm. that we know that we're not Pollyannas. Nobody
no.
is.
No.
There's not one single person.
No.
I have an aunt-in-law who is a nun, who is she is amazing in terms of what she does in helping the world. And she doesn't get along with some of her sisters sometimes. So, you know, like her biological sisters.
Right.
You know, like she has, you know,
yeah.
that's not normal.
It's
and
not
human.
Normal. Yeah. Well, and that we're not alone
yes.
in that. And I think middle school in particular is such an isolating time. And you worry about fitting in and you have to change who you are if you decide, though, that's the group I want to be in. Oh, well, I can't wear these shoes anymore because that group doesn't wear these shoes. And it's very isolating. And I think especially when you take great literature like this that speaks across generations and across time periods, that everyone has always thought this way. You are not alone.
And isn't that what theater does for
yeah.
us? I think that's what theater does in the school level more than anything
yeah.
is says to someone, very specifically in the audience, look, you're not alone.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, too, that was, I think, is really great about theater is that everyone is included. And so, mm-hmm. if, for example, in this production, I had super high-level GT, incredibly smart, and I had life skill kids. And everybody was a part of the same production, and we were part of the same family.
Yeah.
And it broke down some of those barriers. Now, will they keep those barriers broken when they go back out into the classroom off the stage? Maybe not yet.
But
I've planted the seeds.
Yeah.
I've planted the seeds, and they can remember that down the road when they are a little bit more confident and older. Like, oh, yeah, I don't have to be afraid of them.
Yeah. Or maybe I can act in this way.
Right.
Because I did it. I modeled it in a
yeah.
in a show.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to bring it back to just a production
okay.
element because you just talked about having over 100 kids on stage.
It was insane.
But I think that's what.
At a time, yeah.
Yeah. At a time. But I think that's really important because a lot of our listeners are in the middle school area at the middle school level are doing exactly what you did. They have to do it in class. You can't do it after school.
Right.
So when you got to the point where you were ready to put it all together, how did you organize that?
That took a lot of planning, and we broke it into bits. I mean, that I think that was the key of all of this, is a little chunk at a time. Because if I had looked at the whole thing, I would have gotten overwhelmed and like, no, I'm not doing it. So, two shows, like 2 weeks out, we had dress rehearsals to practice transitions. So I would have the first two shows meet after school. They would get a full run through, and they would get an audience. So it would be the first time that someone outside of their class
yes.
had seen their work. And that gave them that little extra energy, and then we practiced the transitions. And then we did sort of the first three and the second three.
Yes.
So then
you were
that
building.
Next week we built, right? And so it wasn't until 2 days before that we had everybody there just wants to go through, and it was just a walkthrough, marking it, because we didn't have that time after school to do everything. But it's
yeah.
like, just go to your spot, move your things. I kept the set the same for every show,
yeah.
but when you just do a basic unit set with levels, none of the shows look the same. And one of the parents even said, it wasn't until the third one, I'm like, those are not the same kids. Where is she putting all these kids? I'm fortunate that we have a teaching theater behind our stage. So we had a big space and we had everything. Each cast had a section where their props and it was all taped off. So that was Shuddersome, or I mean, that was Telltale Heart, and that was... Yeah. Raven, and the belt sat here, and everybody had their prop box, and I had a stage manager for each show that was in class, and then I had one of my eighth grade experienced stage managers. She was in charge of the overall look of it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, how did you keep a control, a manager control? So you had some peers.
Right.
Peers were controlling, or not
yes.
controlling, managing peers as
yes.
opposed to teachers.
Yes.
I think that's
And they
great.
Were awesome. My stage managers were amazing, and they took ownership.
Yeah,
because I'm like, I can't. There's no way I can
be
everywhere. You have to talk to your stage manager first, and if they deem it an emergency, then they can find me, because you cannot have 148 kids going,
coming.
Miss, miss, miss,
help me, help me, help me.
Yeah, it sounds like baby birds.
No, but I like that, though, because then that, well, what a great responsibility
yes.
to give to a student to go and to tell everyone, she or he, you mm-hmm. must go to her first,
mm-hmm.
and she or he is allowed to make a call.
And it created some problem-solving ability within themselves,
yes.
because they really didn't want to go to their stage manager, because
yes.
they knew I would hear from the stage manager,
yes.
well, it was simple, and I can't believe they didn't do, you know. So they would be, okay, where did we put this? Oh, I remember. And then it was like, where did we put this? Oh, and then it would be, this week someone moved our prop.
Yes, yes.
And then
yes.
it would be me going to the other stage manager saying, okay, these three things are missing. Please go find them.
Go deal with it.
So, yeah, I couldn't have done it without them.
Did you have regular meetings with your stage managers, or was it a...
It was in class. They
yeah.
We met, like, when the students, like, I had a stage manager and an assistant stage manager. The ASM was in charge of vocal warm-ups, and then I would meet with the stage manager while the ASM was warming up the
and
cast.
And these are students.
And these are students.
Oh,
and then I would
great.
Say, you know, these are the things that we need to get this scene blocked, we need to get this done, we need these props pulled. And they each class had their tech crew.
Yes.
And so the tech would be working on pulling. And it was, I mean, and the other lovely thing about this show is everything was just sort of suggested.
Yes.
So we didn't have full costumes. Everyone was dressed in black, but we had golden fabric over
yeah.
the gold bells. Or we had a splash of red was the theme throughout the whole evening. So
yeah.
every cast had some element of red something somewhere. And so... my tech crew would have their assignments, and then my stage manager would go work with me on the cast, and ASM would be in charge of the tech. So,
well, that's the only way to do it, isn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah.
That's
no,
fantastic.
It's not. This is not something you can do on your own.
Well, nor should you.
No. No.
Well, and
it's, yeah.
What are you teaching them? Like, you're just teaching them some... Here are what a wonderful bunch of skills.
Yeah.
You know? And then, you know, if you for whatever show you do next year, everybody sees that what... the jobs that they might be able to do.
And I think with middle school too, not all of these kids are going to go into high school theater.
No.
And fewer than that are going to go into college. And
fewer than that.
A tiny amount might do this as a lifestyle.
Yeah.
But I always tell them, these skills that you are learning can go anywhere. Any job you go, you will need some organization skills. Any job that you go into, you will need to be able to negotiate and
yep.
problem solve with peers that are maybe not your best friends. So I don't care that you don't like him. You have to hold his hand anyway.
Yes. That's the job.
That's the job. That's what I'm asking you to do.
Awesome. Oh, I love when we just sort of like, because this is what I do, is sort of like go, hey, that's really interesting. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And just to really, Heather, I just think what you're doing is wonderful. Because
oh,
I think
thank you.
I really love, when kids are given a chance to show us all that they are more than we have
yes.
imagined them to be. And that I was able to play a tiny part in this makes my day. So
we thank you. We thank you for writing things that are of value for our kids.
Well, then I'm just going to keep doing it. And
yes.
now I'm literally sitting here going, okay, now I need, what's my next middle school challenge and how to make it and make it valuable and make it worthwhile.
Well, thank you.
No fairy tales for me. All right. Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Okay, before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. Okay, so I talked about people coming on the podcast. Maybe you want to come on the podcast. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I've got a story. Maybe you have a story about a challenge you've overcome in the classroom, or are you alone on that island that, like so many drama teachers, just trying to make it work? Or do you have a success story you'd love to share? Or maybe a technique or an exercises, a series of exercises that you want to, you know, share with your drama teacher community? Well, we want you. And we really do want the Theater Folk Podcast to be a place where folks can hear something and be inspired, or hear something and say, hey, that's how I feel. Or, hey, I can try that in my classroom. And we really can't do it without your help. We can't do it without the wonderful people who agree to come on this podcast. And let me tell you, all you got to do is send me an email. That's right. I'm the one who, I'm the talker. I'm the organizer. I'm trying to think of the jobs that I do, and it's like it's me. It's all just basically me. So you can contact me directly. My email is Lindsay, LINDSAY, at theaterfolk.com to learn more, pitch a podcast idea. We'll take it from there. Finally, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app. You can also subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you gotta do is search on that word. What word is it? Oh yeah, Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.